to come read scripture for us.
All right, let's turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And what a great crowd today for Father's Day. I saw Miss Joe up there, and I was thinking about you this week, Miss Joe, with being there with thinking about my dad and in his last final days. And man, what a great place of peace that was, and just such a nice place that he was able to cross the river Jordan over to heaven, and it was just a good place. And again, always appreciate that. But I was thinking about that this week, and with my own father. And somebody had told me this, and I don't know if this is true or not. I think it is for me. I don't think about those days that much. I think more about the times we had together, the good times we had, and just as you're growing up and the different things that you were able to do with your dad. And so that's, your mind doesn't go back to those, at least in my part, my mind doesn't go back to those last few weeks or last few months. It goes back to just the good times we had and the training and all the things that he taught me. But I was thinking about that this week. But isn't it interesting that when we think about Christ, our Heavenly Father, what do we think about? We think about dying on the cross and shedding his blood for us and then rising again on the third day and his plan of salvation. I thought, we don't do that with our earthly father. I don't do it with my earthly father. But man, my heavenly father, you know what I think of? I think of the cross. I think of the bloodshed for me that I could gain eternal life because of what he did for me. And man, I'm so thankful for my dad and I'd love to talk up here for hours about him, but just such a good man. And I'm so glad that, I'm so glad that we got to share him with you all. And that means so much more because I can sit here and think about my dad, but then you have a memory and you have something he helped you with or whatever it may be. And I miss my dad. I miss him a lot, but man, I'm so thankful for what he left behind and his teachings and all of those things that he impressed upon my life. And hopefully, again, that would lead me onto a life for living for Christ as well. Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll read verse 1 this morning. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, thank you for this place, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the importance, Lord, as those that are here understand, Lord, the importance of being in God's house on Father's Day. And Lord, many, many things that they could have been doing this morning, but they're here because they made it a priority, Lord God. I so thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, just the act of coming, Lord, shows an understanding, Lord God, of Lord, just the importance of the church house and the house where we come and worship God, Lord. And there's so many things going on in this world, but man, we can come here and get away from all that, Lord God, get into the Word of God and Lord, try to find meaning for our life and try to find out, Lord, things that Lord, maybe we have some struggles, some trials, some things going on, Lord. We can come here and hear from God. And Lord God, change our lives, change our, Lord, if there's someone here that hasn't received Christ as their Savior, change your destination this morning for when they die. And Lord God, it's so important for us to think about that. And for those, Lord, there was a time when we accepted Christ as our Savior. But Lord, if there's not a time in someone's life here, then Lord, today would be the day they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord. And we just go back, Lord, we think about our Heavenly Father, we think about the death on the cross, Lord, and the resurrection, the coming again, Lord God, all of those things, God, and we just pray, Lord God, that you could just continue to be with us, continue to be with this group of believers here this morning. Lord, I pray that we get much from the message to come. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Good, thank you, Brother Jason, for that, and man, as always, thanks for the music this morning. Appreciate the choir and then the men singing. And Ms. Hazel, off to us, thank you for all of that this morning on Father's Day. We read there in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1 and it tells us to hear the instruction of a father, that children are supposed to hear that instruction. I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to spend most of our time in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and Bible tells us that we're supposed to listen to and hear the instruction of our fathers. And you think about what your dad taught you, the things that your father taught you when you were growing up. And obviously everybody's in different families, different homes, different situations. I think one of the problems in our country today is the lack of leadership in the home and fathers that aren't present in the home. And we talk about on Mother's Day how moms need to take care of the home and the children. That's true. But this morning I want to talk about fathers in the home and really fathers going home. And not fathers going home necessarily and quitting their job and taking care of the kids all the time. I'm not necessarily mentioning talking about that today, but I'm talking about fathers and the responsibility you do have in your home. And you think back at the teaching that you learned. If I was to go around and you were to give me examples of things that your dad taught you, most of the time it's not some skill, though sometimes it is a skill in a certain area that he did. But a lot of times it's just things that he said and, of course, things that he lived. I was reading through several books that I haven't read in a while. It's been a few years since I read them. I was looking back through one of them, several books by Coach John Wooden, who probably the greatest basketball coach that ever lived and coached back in the 60s and 70s. And it just was well known for not only his coaching but also his life and his wisdom, all those things. And so, but I was reading through his book again. And he talked about his dad, and he grew up really before the Depression in the early 1900s. But he's talking about what his dad taught him. And he said his dad never taught him anything about sports. Never did. In fact, his dad thought sports were fine, but they were recreation. They were play. It was something you did after your work was done, after your chores were done, after your schooling was done. Then you got to play. All right, you got to do it after that. But he said his dad had two sets of threes that he taught his children, and he said just were ingrained in his mind. The first set of three was never lie, never cheat, never steal. He said that was what he told from the time they were born. Never lie, never cheat, never steal. And then the second one was don't whine, don't complain, don't make excuses. Those were the two sets of three. I thought, you know, if every dad would teach their child that, we'd have a pretty good world, right? Hey, never lie, never cheat, never steal. Don't whine, don't complain, don't make excuses. And I began to think of the things that my dad taught me. And we've said them here many times before, and there's a lot I could go to. But the ones that always come to mind are the ones that you've memorized too, because he said them so many times from the pulpit. And number one was life is not fair, right? That's something he taught me from the time I was just little. Life is not fair. Don't expect it to be. You're going to be disappointed. You expect it to be. Life's not fair. It's just the way it is. Don't expect life to be fair. And then the second thing that went along with that was life is not fair. Number two was what? Attitude is everything. Your attitude towards something, that's so important. That's what's going to make or break you, right? Is your attitude towards it. Because you go back to number one, life's not fair, right? So it's going to depend on your attitude towards things. And so he taught us that. And he taught us other things. That this came to mind this morning, all right? This is something he taught us. Justin, come here for a minute, all right, Justin? And he would do this from pulpit, too. And he'd say, look, when you shake hands, give a firm handshake and look him in the eye, all right, if you can. Look him in the eye, all right? And that's what he said. Always do that. Good. Thank you, Justin. Never see. And he taught us that when you shake somebody's hand, you give him a firm handshake, you look him in the eye. He always said that'll make you a good used car salesman, all right, if you do that. Dad would tell us that all the time. So, man, so he taught me that from the time I was a child. And I learned that, and he would go through and teach us that. You can think this morning of some things that your dad taught you. And again, most of the time, some of it was probably a little bit corny, all right? And some of it was, it was just simple. And then there are things, again, you can think of beyond that your dad taught you. But for me, that's what those things that I remember that he said over and over and over again. And be honest with you, if you're like me when you were younger, first of all, he didn't always understand all of it. But then secondly, you're like, Dad's saying that again. Dad, we've heard that. You know, we've heard it before. Now, we wouldn't verbalize that, obviously, all right? But you just think to yourself. And then the older you get and you have your own children, you realize, man, he was instilling that in my mind, in my life, in my heart, so that I would continue and try to teach that to my own children and try to pass that along. And so we have a responsibility, and I think this is something that fathers have not done like they should, not necessarily in this place, but across our country and across our world, in teaching our children the instruction that they're supposed to have. And so in Proverbs it says to hear the instruction of a father. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, a very interesting passage here that we'll read starting in verse number 20. And the people of Israel were getting ready to come out of the wilderness and to go into the promised land. And the book of Deuteronomy here is sort of the end of their 40 years of wandering, and it's the next generation. It's that generation that's going to go into the promised land in the book of Joshua, into the land of Canaan, and establish that. And so Moses is trying to give them some truth here. And so look at verse number 20. He says, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." And so in this passage here, Moses gets to the people of Israel. He says, here's what's going to happen. As we move into the promised land, here's what's going to happen. The first thing he says there in verse 20, he says, "And when thy son asketh thee." He says, there's going to come a time when your son's going to ask you something. Now, I begin to think of what we're dealing with today. You know, one of the problems we have in our world today is sons aren't asking sometimes, right? And so there's sons today. You need to ask your fathers. You need to get advice and counsel from your fathers. And so you have sons that aren't asking that. By the way, that's why it's important to have your family in the house of God and have your children in church so they can hear and they can ask questions. They can talk to you. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I don't know if you've had this happen before. I'm sure you have. Your dad, when your child comes and asks you something, "Hey, Dad, what about this? How do I do this? Or do you know about this?" And because they think you know the answer, right? And sometimes you do, right? It's a great thing when I can give them the right answer. There's sometimes where I have to say, "I don't know." But I'm glad they're coming to ask me. I'm glad they're coming to ask me. I'm glad they're coming to ask me when they have a question about things. And so the sons, there's going to come a time where they come. Have your children in church. Have your children around godly people. They're going to point them to God. And make sure they're in a place where they can get the right answers when they do have questions. But it says there's going to come a time where your sons are going to ask you something. And then it tells us in verse number 20 what that is that they're going to ask. They're going to say this: "What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you?" So here's the question they're going to ask. Basically, what does God's word mean? And I'll say this is something that I think over the last several decades, I know Dad tried to preach it from this pulpit and I think did a great job with it. I know he did it in our home. But I think this is one of the keys. It doesn't guarantee that your children are going to always turn out right. But I tell you, this is one of the keys to rearing godly children. Is not just telling them do this, but saying here's why we do it according to the Word of God. Now, that doesn't have to happen when they're 5 years old, all right? When they're 4 years old, when they're over in the nursery, you don't have to sit down with your three-year-old and explain to them, all right, here's exactly why we're doing what we're doing. But I do think it's important to be able to answer your children's questions as they grow older and they begin to be teenagers and not say, okay, you're going to do it just because I said to do it. Well, that's good. They should. But also, it should be we're able to take the Word of God and say, this is why we do what we do. And these sons said, hey, tell us why we have to do these commandments and these statutes, these rules in the Bible. Why in the world are we having to follow that? Why do we live the way we do? Hey, we don't live the way we do just to check off a bunch of boxes and say we were good today. No, that's not why we live, because we're trying to please our Heavenly Father who sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross and paid for our sins for us. So we want to live for Him according to His Word. And so we want to be able to explain that to our children. It's not just something we do because somebody else did it or tradition. No, we're doing what the Bible says to please our Heavenly Father. That's why we're doing it. Now, we're not doing good works. If you're doing good works this morning to get to heaven, you're not going to make it, all right? You're going to come up short. Because there's no way. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. We're going to come short of that glory. We can't do that. So if that's what I'm trying to do good for, that's not going to work. But I should be trying to please my Heavenly Father. And so when my son, my child comes and asks me, why are we doing these things? Then the Bible says, here's what your answer should be. And as we look at that, it's interesting here. They're asking about the testimonies and the commandments, what God has commanded you to do. Hold your place there, and we'll just go real quick. Go to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. They got into the promised land here in the book of Joshua. And same group of people. A little different situation. Now they're into the promised land. And they cross over the Jordan River as they head into the promised land. And God tells them to take some stones with them and set up a memorial. And I just want to show you the same concept here in verse number 20 of Joshua chapter 4. It said, those 12 stones they took out of Jordan. They take 12 stones out of Jordan. Verse 21. And he's speaking to the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. The Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you till you were passed over. So the Lord your God did the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And so the same situation here, where they take these stones so that when their sons ask, the sons will see those stones and ask them. I'm afraid today sometimes those stones are hidden. All right, sometimes the sons can't see the stones. The children can't see the stones that have been taken out of the Jordan River because they're not prominent in the home. But they're going to ask as they see those things, why do we do what we do? So back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it gives us in verse number 21 what you're supposed to tell them. Verse 21, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Number one, God delivered us. God saved us. That's what we need to tell our children. Hey, God saved me. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. As a seven-year-old, my mom took me through the Scripture, and I prayed and asked Jesus Christ into my heart, got my assurance later, but I got saved, and we need to share that with our children. Our children should know. By the way, your children should know, Dad, your salvation testimony. They should know that. They should know that. I'll talk to some people sometime, and I'll go to somebody's house, and I'll be talking to the couple, and the husband and wife, and I'll ask the husband about his job. He'll start talking about his job, and his wife's like, oh, I didn't know you did that, you know? I didn't know you did. But, hey, it shouldn't be that way when it comes to stuff. That's okay if it's about their job, but it shouldn't be that way when it comes to salvation, all right? It shouldn't be if I was to talk to your children, hey, how did Dad get saved? They should know that. Because it's something that Dad talks about. Hey, this changed our life. Man, look what this did for us. And so the first thing that the answer, hey, why do we do what we do? Number one, because God delivered us. He saved us. That's why we do what we do. That's why we follow the Word of God. That's why we try to do what God's Word teaches us. So number one, God delivered us salvation, verse 22. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon his household before our eyes. Hey, number one, God delivers through salvation. Number two, God has done great things in our life. Hey, dads, teach your children all the great things God has done for you. Say, well, I can't think of any. Well, start trusting God then, right? Hey, if you can't think of something God's done great for you, that's on you. That's not on God. So you make sure you're trusting God and living for God. But man, share with God, share with them how God has brought you to where you are today and the family He's given, the life He's given, and all that God's blessed you with. Your children should hear on a regular basis, Dad, about the blessings in your life that God put there. That's something you should be teaching them. I hope you teach them a lot of things and teach them how to do different things, but you better teach them about God's blessings in your life. And how God has done great, the mighty power of God. Hey, what should we say to our children as they ask these things? Number one, tell them God saved us. He delivered us. Number two, hey, God has blessed our lives. Man, we grew up in a preacher's home, and it was great to grow up in that home. I tell you, there was never a doubt in our mind that God blessed us. Man, our parents told us that over and over and over again. Does that mean that there was never any problems in the church when I was a little child? No, that doesn't mean that. I didn't know about them. I'm sure there was. All right? I'm sure there's this problem or that problem or something they had to take care of. I don't know. But I know this. We heard over and over again how good God's people were and how good God was. Over and over again. How good you were. All right? And we could tell. And even some of those that we were told were good. All right? And who knows if they're good or not. But they were told God blessed us. God's taking care of us. God. And we were taught that all through the time we've grown up. Tried to pass it on our children. As your children ask you, why are you doing what we're doing? Why do we live the way we live? Hey, because God saved us, number one. Number two, because God's done great things for us. Then look at verse number 20. 3. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. So here's what we're supposed to do. What do we teach our children? God saved us. Hey, God's mighty hand has all the great works he's done in our life. And then 3, God gave us everything that we have. Your children should know God gave you everything you have. Hey, the job that you have, the finances you have, the house that you have, all those things, it should be evident. You should talk, man, I thank God for where we live. Man, God provided that house for us. And God gave that for us. And God worked out so we could get that. And your children should know that. Man, they should hear that from you. They should be taught God gave us. Hey, it's something that we're taught to work hard and do all things. That's great. But also to understand that God gave us what we have. And so we teach our children, God delivered us. He saved us. Man, God's done great things in our life. And then God gave us what we have. And then 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. We live the way we live because God commanded us to do these things, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Hey, teach your children, when you follow God's word, it's always for your good. We had too many young people growing up who think that the Christian life is a miserable life because they live in a home where mom and dad are complaining about all the time about having to live for the Lord. Hey, it's always for our good. You know that? When we do what God's word says, we know that all things, what? Romans 8:28, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. When we live for God, when we choose God's way, it's always good. Always. And by the way, you're here this morning and say, well, I haven't chosen God's way. You can choose that right now. It's always good, I can tell you that. It's always good. And so your children should know, Dad, that God's way is always good. And when your children ask you those questions, what are you supposed to do when they want to know? You say, hey, God saved us. Hey, God's done great things in our midst. God gave us what we have, and the Word of God is always good. Dads, let me ask you this morning, are you teaching that to your children? You know what? It is not the church's responsibility to teach your children the Word of God. It's not the Christian school's responsibility to teach them more than anybody else. It's not even just moms. I'm glad mom teaches. That's great and in the home. But let me tell you, Dad, it starts with you teaching the truth of the Word of God in your home. It starts with you. And that's not just teaching them verses. That's great. It's also teaching through the way you live. And it starts, and we need some dads that will go home and teach their children. And I'm not talking about, that's fine, you're going to homeschool, fine, I'm talking about that. I'm talking about, though, Dad, you go teach your children the Word of God in the way that you live and how you conduct yourself. And I'm thankful for the examples we have here in this church of dads who lead their home spiritually. And some of them who are not even as outgoing or as vocal here at church, but man, I tell you what, in their home, I know they're the ones in charge spiritually. Hey, they're the ones that their wives do a great job and a wonderful support to them. But boy, they take the lead in that, and they say, "Hey, we're gonna learn. You're gonna learn some things here in this home. How you're supposed to behave, how you're supposed to act, how you're supposed to live." And if you got a dad like that, whether you like it or not, you better thank God for it. Thank God for what he's given you. We need. It's not there. Listen, what we do here at the church and what we do in our Christian school, we reinforce what's taught at home. But it's not our responsibility. Hey, don't push that off on somebody else, Dad. Hey, that's your responsibility. You take care of teaching them at home and teaching them the Word of God and answering their questions when it comes to spiritual things. Have you told them what God's done? I was listening to a message by Evangelist Lester Roloff this week. And he, of course, many of you know, again, he died in the early 80s, but had children's homes. And brought hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children into those homes. I mean, from all kinds of situations and from out on the street to prison to all the stuff. And they come to those homes. And he said one of the problems they faced, those children would come to those homes. And most of y'all know the story of the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? He goes and he's so bad off, he's in the pig pen, right? He's working in the pig pen. The Bible says he wanted to eat of what the pigs were eating. He was so hungry, he didn't have anything. But what happened?
he went home. And Dad was waiting there. Dad was waiting at home. By the way, it's a great picture. It tells us this. Hey, he had a dad, and that represents really God. But he made his own decision to do wrong. Didn't mean the dad did anything wrong, but he made his own decision to do wrong. But he went back. Dad was there. Man, Dad was there, and Dad was faithful, and Dad was still doing right, and he was able to come back, and Dad had open arms and welcomed him in. And by the way, that's what we're supposed to do. When somebody goes away from God, we're supposed to welcome them back in and have open arms and rejoice. And that's what the prodigal son's father did. But Evangelist Roloff said, here's the problem. He said, some of these kids are coming, and they're getting right and getting saved, and we're sending them back to the pig pen. Because that's what their home's like. Hey, their home's the pig pen. Imagine that. What if the prodigal son came home and it was just as bad as what he had when he was out somewhere? I'm afraid sometimes children are coming home to the pig pen. And Dad, that's on us. Hey, it shouldn't be they go out somewhere and we go to camp in 2 weeks. And we have a young person makes a decision, says, I'm getting rid of my rock music, and they come home and Dad's listening to it. Or they say, you know, I shouldn't be looking at that stuff on the internet, and Dad's looking at it. Hey, Dad, what are we teaching our children? Hey, it shouldn't be they come home to the pig pen. Isn't it great in Luke chapter 15 that he could come home to something different than the pig pen? And the prodigal son got to come home to that. And Lester Roloff said, man, it's just sad. You see that? And we feel like, man, we need to keep them here because we send them home and they're just going back to what they were before. Hey, are we teaching, instructing our children according to the Word of God? Dads, go home today and teach your children the truth of God's Word. So when they come to you, say, Dad, why do we live the way we do? Hey, we do it because we serve a Savior that delivered us. He saved us. Hey, we do it because of what He's done. Hey, do you understand the power that He's shown us? Do you understand, son, that He opened up that Red Sea and we were able to walk across on that and all the great things He's provided for us? Hey, why do we do what we do? Because God gave, we're here in the promised land. We're coming into the promised land. And God's given us everything that we have. All that we have, He's provided for us. Hey, why do we live the way we do? Dad, well, son, it's because whenever we follow God's word, it always works out for good. Not perfection, but it's going to be best for you to follow God's word. It's always the best life. Are you teaching your children that, Dad? Hey, go home today. Start teaching them what these dads were teaching their children. Because they're going to ask. They're going to ask. That's fine when they ask. Say, well, man, I wish they'd just do it. No, that's fine when they ask. That gives you an opportunity to teach. Are we teaching our children to follow the Word of Dad, the Word of God? Dads, go home and teach today. Dear Father, thank you for the teaching of God's Word. Thank you, Lord, for salvation we can have through Jesus Christ and that you provided that for us. And Lord, that we should be motivated by a love for you. Lord, we're not doing what we're doing to please man. We don't do what we do to get in good with you, Lord. No, I pray this morning we'd be living the way we live. We live righteously according to God's word because you commanded us to. We want to do what you told us to. We want to please you. Lord, help us to pass on to our children what great things you've done, how mighty you are, what you've accomplished. Lord, help us to pass on to our children those things you've given. You've provided everything. And that whenever we followed you, it's always been good. Lord, I pray we teach. We need more of that today. Lord, thank you for those I know in this church already that are teaching that and teaching that and teaching that. Lord, help us. I know sometimes it's easy as dads, as husbands, a lot going on. Lord, it's easy just to push that off on somebody else. No, Lord, help us take responsibility. Teach our children the truth of the Word of God. Lord, it may not be. Lord, it may not be that we know all the stories and doctrine and all that stuff, but we do know the basic truths of salvation, of holy living, of a faith that's not shaken by the world. And we pass that on to those that come after us and answer the questions of our children.
Lord, I pray someone here is not saved this morning. I pray they trust you today in Jesus' name. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around this morning, let me ask you this. Do you know for sure you're on the way to heaven? Can't get there by good works. Bible says the only way to heaven, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way is through Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you say this, you say, I know for sure I'm saved. It wasn't a real salvation message this morning. We did mention it. I know for sure I'm saved. If you put your hand up like I'm doing, say, I know I'm saved this morning. You can put your hand right back down. If you're here this morning, you say this, you say, I'm just not sure about my, I don't know if I was to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Hey, this is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. I promise you I won't embarrass you at all, but I want to pray for you. If you say, hey, pray for me, I'm just not sure I'm saved. If you're like that this morning, just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I won't call anyone, won't embarrass you. Say, just pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. We direct us more dads this morning. Dads, how are we doing in teaching our children? Then children, how are we doing at listening to what dad's teaching? As the Lord spoke to you this morning, you come forward to the music place. Good. Thanks so much for coming. I apologize. I know we went a little longer today, but we no choir practice tonight? Or we have choir practice?
5:15.
All right, 5:15, and then I know we have junior choir because they're singing tonight. All right, so we got choir practice tonight, and we're going to have a couple baptisms, all right? Now, I know we're a little later than normal, but we did give you some candy to hold you over till lunch, all right? So if you need to get into that and snack a little bit, it'll just take a couple minutes. We're going to do a couple baptisms, and then we'll go. All right, so